that answer the question is God powerful for me? Can he do it in my life? So this morning, if you're burned out, if you're tired this morning, this is for you. We know that God will give you the power that you need to make it another day. Also, the second thing we looked at last week is in the midst of your inadequacies, when you don't feel like you have it all together, you don't understand what it's all about, when you feel weak, God says, I want to give you my power. The third thought last week is I want to give you my power when you have devastating hurts, when you have pains that you just cannot explain, that are not going away. God says, I will show up and I will give you my power for those times. And then he says, when you feel tempted, when we face things that are tempting us to choose any other way but God's way, he says, I can give you power and I will give you power to choose a way out. But you have to make that decision on your own. But he says, I will give you that power to find a way out. So God says to you and to me this morning, I want to give you my power for your life. The verse that we started last week, and I want to show it again on the screens, is our verse for this two-week series, and it's found in Psalm 68, verse 35. On the screen it says, Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power. And I have it underlined, and if you have your Bible, I would underline it too, because we're going to come back to this at the end of the sermon. The power comes to his people. Blessed be God. So today's message is that you and I do not have to be powerless in this lives. You and I don't have to look for another source outside of what God is already going to give you. So the answer to last week's sermon is today, and the answer is this: how do you and I access that power? We told you it will show up in those four areas, but this morning I want to give you three things how you can access God's power. And I kept it simple for my sake. You have to know this is the world in which I live. I just said ABC, okay? It might not be as simple as ABC, but it's the ABCs to help you remember how you can access God's power this morning. And the first one is letter A, you have to admit. You just have to simply admit that you are weak. You are weak. You are out of energy. You know, the most relaxing and most rejuvenating point in my life is when I realized that I was not the general manager of this universe. Really? Yeah. It dawned on me one day, I realized this, that the world did not fall apart either when I resigned. It kept going. I just felt like, and I don't know if you ever felt like that, you were Mr. and Mrs. Atlas. You just had all the world and all the weight on your shoulder, and you just had to do everything for everybody and all the time be there. You got tired, didn't you? And one day I did realize that my parents did not call me Atlas. They called me Drew. I'm not Mr. Atlas, and thank God. So I don't know where you are this morning. Would you do something for me just as you're sitting there? Just take a deep breath and let it all out. And would you just relax this morning? And let God take over your spirit and your thought and your mind. Put everything outside of these four walls of this church out of your mind this morning. And just relax. And let God's word come in and fill you with his power. Let God drain you of all that stress. Let God come in this morning in your life and take away those pressures, those problems, maybe those people, those circumstances, those critics, those challenges, those impossible situations. So seriously, this morning, this is where I admit that I have lack of power in my life. And I don't have to do it all. God never gave me that job title. It's his. So why do I stress trying to do it all in my own strength? I have to admit I can't solve every problem. For me, this is tough because I've got to have it all together. I'm a pastor. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm a grandpa. I've got to do it for everyone. No, I don't. God said he'll do it for me in his strength. And that's the great news that I have for you this morning is I am weak. I can't do it all. I'm getting older. So are you. But God says, I can do it for you, Drew. So you, if you and I ever want to access power, it's got to start here, admitting that you're weak. It's to the point in your life where you say, and you just drop to your knees and say, God, I can't do it. That's the best position to be in your Christian walk, is in weakness, admitting that you cannot do it. The Bible is filled with verses upon verses for us to look at, but the Bible tells us that God doesn't want much of anything except for to admit that we're weak. And you know what he hates? God doesn't hate a lot of things. Do you realize that? But I noticed he hates pride. He despises pride. Pride says that I do not need God. I can do it. Pride says, I've got it all together. I can do this one more time. You know, in Proverbs, it says, pride ends in humiliation. Why, humility is admitting that I am weak, brings honor to God. Someone once said this, the wiser you become, the more you will know little what you really do know. We don't know much. I like this. You'll see it on the screen, Proverbs 9:12. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. You know the key word in that verse? It comes in twice. The word is if. Can you put it back on the screen? It says this in Proverbs, if you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. But if you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. The key word is if. It's your choice to let God's power in your life. In the battles against the world, which you and I live, the battles against this flesh, the battles against the devil, does the Lord want to make us strong? Or does he want to be our strength? When you come to that answer this morning, and you come to realize that's the question, that is a big deal. Does he want to make you strong, or does he want to be strong in your behalf? Ephesians 6:10, you'll see it on the screen, the apostle says this. He says, finally, my brethren, he says, be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of his might. One of the most important lessons that you will ever learn as you go through life and under this letter A, when we admit that we're not strong and that we are weak, the lessons that we do as believers is interesting, that God is not interested in making you strong. How many of you pray, God, just give me the strength one more day? Wow. Do you realize what you're saying? Not in me the strength. God, I want you to have your strength in me just one more day. If we can realize that it is his strength and recognizes that he is our strength, that you do have the power already. You just have to access it by just admitting you can't do it, but he can. And that's why Paul said, I like this verse in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are all sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of what? It's of God. So it all starts with admitting that I am weak, regardless of your situation this morning. You can trust this principle, and this is what I like what Charles Stanley said, whatever brings you to your knees in weakness carries the greatest potential for your personal access and victory. So what is it this morning that's going to bring you to your knees to admit to God that you can't do it? That's a great position to be in this morning, admitting that you're weak. So as long as pride is involved, you know what happens when pride gets involved, that ego comes in my life? What it does is that pride separates you from God. That's what pride wants to do. Pride wants you to move in a direction away from God, moving you not towards God, but moving you away from God. So when I admit I'm weak because now it's going to move me towards God as my strength. Pride wants to move me away from God because it says, I can do it. Weakness says, I can't do it. God's got to do it. So it always moves me towards God as my strength. The second letter is this. So that was A, admit you're weak. Letter B, how do you access that power this morning? Is be connected to the source of power. Be connected to that source of power. It's the only way you can have power is being connected to it, is getting connected to that power. Have you ever noticed everything works better when it's plugged in? We bought, it was a while ago, but we bought a brand new toaster in our house. Oh, it's nice, black. It's a Black & Decker, but black and shiny. It looks great. Sitting there, never has one fingerprint on it, doesn't have crumbs from all the toast in it just yet. It's beautiful on our counter. It is lovely on our counter. And the net worth of a nice toaster, we didn't spend more than a couple bucks on it, $40 or so, but they can get up there in price if you get a nice toaster that puts bagels and all the four slices, six slices, it could go up there. And you know what? So no matter how beautiful or good looking that toaster is, no matter how much money you paid for that toaster, no matter if that toaster was in the church nursery its whole life, coming to church, I'll say, it doesn't work unless you simply what? Plug it in. You've got to plug in that toaster for it to work. Some of you are saying, well, Drew, I've already been a Christian my whole life. I'm already connected with God. But then why don't you have the power? Because we've allowed ourselves to become unplugged by ungodly choices. And we simply make ungodly choices and doing things on our own agenda, in our own way, thinking that we can do it, that we have expectation that God is going to bless us anyways. And God says, nope. Think about it. Would it make sense to you? Would it make sense to me for God to supernaturally renew our strength so that you then can continue to pursue the things of your own interests? Why would he do that? It wouldn't make sense, would it? Found this illustration not too long ago on pursuing the wrong choices in life. And it's called, "There's a Hole in My Sidewalk." I walk down the street, there's a deep hole in the sidewalk, and I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It's not my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Then, the next day, I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe it. I'm in that same place. But it's not my fault. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in. It's a habit. But my eyes are open now. I know where I am. It's not my fault. I get out immediately. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. I walk down another street. God will give you a way out. God will help you make the right choices. And the reason we become unplugged is because we don't make the right choices. We keep walking down the same path, and we keep falling in to the same temptation. Walk down a different path. Choose God's way. Choose God's path in life. So I go through these action steps of A, admit, B, be connected, and then C. As you're sitting there thinking, well, I've been a Christian a long time. Just move on. Let's get to C. You feel that way sometimes? Hey, let's just get moving on. It's not that you do this once and you've got it all and you have his power. No, you do this every day. This becomes a lifestyle for us as Christians to continually be plugged in to the source of power. Jesus understood the word connection. Jesus understood the word of being plugged in. He understood the word being connected to something. I turn your attention to what he said in John 15. It'll be on the screens for you. It says this. I loved his visual here. He helps us get connected with this. He said, "I'm the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, those who are connected with me," he says, "and I am them, they will produce much fruit." For church this morning, for what? Apart from him, he says, apart from me, you can do what? Absolutely nothing. That's why Jesus said it's important to be connected to him. You know, going through high school, I was lousy at math. I took general math up to 11th grade. So I started in junior high at 8th. We took general math. 9th, 10th, 11th, for 4 years. I took general math. I just couldn't get this stuff to sink into this head of mine because I just despise math. How do you make letters and numbers go together in geometry? Letters are letters. Numbers are numbers. Why are we combining letters and numbers? X plus Y equals 2 plus... Well, no, this is the alphabet and these are numbers. Let's keep them separate. That's how I thought. So when you're writing on this... We had chalkboards back. Do you guys have chalkboards? Sorry. We had chalkboards, and he's writing all this stuff on the chalkboard. I'm thinking, how do you figure this stuff out? That's why I took general math for 4 years up to 11th grade. This stuff seemed so... I realize that I won't say his name, but as long as my math teacher was in the room, I could breathe a little easier because he was there. I'd always raise my hand, run up to his desk. "Drew, just be right seated. I will teach you. Just calm down." He would always say, "Keep focus, keep focus, keep focus all semester long. You're going to get it one of these years." Not this semester, maybe not next, but one of these years you're going to get it. You know, throughout my my high school years, man, it seemed to make sense after, I use that word carefully, seemed to make sense after a while. Even those word problems. You remember those word problems? They're an they're just crazy. They're just one of those things that, you know, I look at them as they are an entrance exam to, you can fill in the blank. You look at it, I wrote one down here. If Billy gets on a train, he's traveling 100 miles an hour, he has 1,027 apples, and he gives 5.5 apples to a stranger every 49 minutes, how many apples will he have left when he gets to Tommy's house 1,000 miles away? And I'm thinking to myself, what a dummy. Why didn't you just fly? Well, I got an F because that's not what the subject was about. I said, well, then what's he doing with all those apples to begin with? How many times you guys take a train with all those apples? I don't. That's why it never made sense to me. But as long as my math teacher was in the room, he would calm me down, keep me focused on the situation and on the problem. Yeah, thank you. Because he was right next to me, I was connected with him in class. So as long as he was in the same class as I was, as my teacher, and I stayed connected with him, he helped me. The point is that is just stay connected with the one who has the power that can do it. We do that with God. God, why, this doesn't make sense. Why do you have me carrying this? Why do you have me go over here? Why am I traveling here? Why is this going on in my life? You question God, and it's like one of those quiz puzzles, you know, in math, those word problems, you think, this doesn't make sense. And God says, just stay with me. Stay connected to me. Things work better when they are plugged in. There may be some today saying, well, Drew, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it seems very hard to get plugged in. To get plugged into a relationship with God, I find it sometimes difficult. Can I help you with that this morning? It's not. You have made it difficult. God did not make it difficult to get plugged in. You know what's difficult? It's trying to find a repairman to come out to your house at a given time. It's hard to find a cable guy to come out and fix your internet at a given time. That's what's hard. To get that stuff plugged into life. But getting plugged in with God is not that hard. We have made it hard. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God stands at the door and he knocks. He's just waiting for you to answer and say yes. Yes, I admit I'm weak. Yes, God, I need to be connected with you. He's waiting for you to open the door. So maybe you're here this morning, you're just seeking this thing out. You're trying to figure out this Christianity thing. Where do I fit in? I don't understand all this. I've been coming to church, or I've been here for a while. I've talked to people about it, but I'm just not quite sure how I get plugged in, what I need to do. God is at the door of your heart, just knocking and knocking and knocking, waiting for you just to say yes, to admit it, that you can't do it. Be connected to him who has the strength. And you're saying this morning, you've been a believer for a while, and you feel like you have been unplugged, and you feel like you're trying to get plugged back in your life. There are so many ways. Can I say this morning at Main Place? That's why we exist, to help people to get plugged in, to help people be connected back to God. That's why we have Bible studies, ladies' Bible studies, for something for the seniors. We get places where we can meet and grow together. That's why we have church for the kids during this time. That's why we have, after this church service, we have Bible study classes. That's why we have prayer meetings on Monday nights. And throughout the week, we have different venues where you can come and understand the Bible with Chase on Thursday night, and the classes for our college on Wednesday nights. We have so many places for you to get plugged in. It's not that hard. Satan has made it hard for you to get plugged in your relationship with God. Letter C, A. B, C, you admitted it, you want to be connected, and the last one is this: you have to choose God's way. You've got to choose God's way by faith, that God will show up in the power that he said he will already show up with power in your life. Just choose God's way. This is the toughest part of the A, B's, and C's for me. The Bible makes it very, very clear that God's power and my faith are connected. God's power and my faith are definitely connected. For me, to get God's power, I've got to step out in faith, believing that he said he would do what he said he will do. What does choose God's way really mean for us as believers? I'm a born-again believer. I accepted Jesus Christ. Now I got to do what? Choose God's way? It means I got to step out in faith, in obedience to God, to trust him every day of my life. That's why I said this is a lifestyle. This is not a one and done for us as believers. The key word, when I step out in obedience to what God calls me, before the power shows up. That is the key. Can you and I step out in faith and trust God before that we believe the power will show up in our lives? Some of you are thinking, well, you mean I've got to do the action first, and if I step out in faith, and when I do that, then God is going to come behind me and show up in power? Yes. You think, that doesn't seem right. Well, in Hebrews 11:1, it says this in the screens, what is faith? Faith is this. Now, faith is a substance of things, what? Hoped for. Stepping out in faith, hope for the evidence of what? Things not seen. You're stepping out in faith. God's doing all the power behind you. You're not be able to see it, but he says, I promise you, you step out in faith and trust me, you're going to see me work great things in your life, but you've got to have faith. So God's power and your faith are connected at that point. I'm going to read it in another version. It says this, it is the confidence assurance that what we hope for, it's going to happen. Can you say that? When I step out in faith, I have the confidence when I work forward with God, he says it's going to happen. Do we believe that? That is what it means to choose God's way. B and C work closely together. You have to be connected and you have to choose God's way. B and C work closely together. You see, when I'm connected with God, my choices become a lot clearer. I read you the thing on temptation about walking a different side, sidewalk in your life. So when you follow God's plan and you choose God's way, your choices will become a lot clearer. You notice I did not say they become a lot easier. It would become a lot clearer for you to choose God's way. So I choose God's way, and God says, oh, okay, now my power is going to show up. You step out in faith, I will show you my power. You could read Bible cover to cover in your Bible, and I'm going to just read two examples for you how this works in our lives. May I offer you a powerful biblical just illustration, and I hope it resonates with you as what happened. You remember the children of Israel, thousands, millions of them, they were in Egypt serving the king there, Pharaoh. He comes to a day after many times Moses and Aaron go to him and said, let my people go. And what was his answer every time? Nope, 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 nope. Finally, one day he says, okay, I'm going to let you go. So you got to remember, if you're one of those children, you're an Israelites, and Pharaoh says, you can go, man, you are leaving Egypt as quickly as you can. You are dancing. You're clicking up your heels. You're just laughing and praising God. We are out of there. You know how long? It's been 400 years. We get to go. And so they're leaving across the desert. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh just snaps and says, what did I do? I let all my help go, all my free labor's going. Who's going to make all these bricks in the hot day? Who's going to be cleaning the restrooms? So he's all mad. He's upset. Who's going to do all this free stuff for him? I just let all these people go. So here you are. Pharaoh now sends out the Egypt National Guard on you. And they're on their way on your tail. And you're out here clicking and dancing your feet. You're moving out of Egypt. You're going the way God wants you to go. And you look behind me and you see this National Guard coming at you. So you panic and fear. And as you're going this way, then you see a sea out there. And you're caught between the National Guard and the sea. And you're thinking, I just chose God's way. What's going on? So imagine you're an Israelite. You're facing this. All of a sudden, you're being chased. You think they're going to kill you. So either you're going to die of being murdered or you're going to drown. Well, those are my two options. Listen to what they said to Moses in Exodus 14. Then they turned against Moses and they complained. Is that what we do? Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves in Egypt? Why did you make us leave? Our slavery was better than us dying here in the wilderness. I wonder if we say the same things. Boy, my powerless life was a whole lot better than stepping out on faith and being humiliated. Be careful. We tend to want to go back to our powerless lives. It was a lot easier. God says, I want to make your path a lot clearer. Our powerless lives, Moses said, children of Israel, don't be afraid. God comes to you this morning when you admit you're weak, when you are what? Be connected to his source of strength. When you choose God's way, he comes to you this morning and says, don't be afraid. Whatever you're facing this morning, do not be afraid. Just wait listen to what Moses said, just wait and watch what God will do. Do you have the patience to wait and to watch what God's going to do? Would you take that for your answer this morning? Think about it. You're thinking, wow, I'm either going to drown or be killed. Either way, I'm not going to make it out of this situation alive. And Moses comes to you and says, brother, sister, just relax. Relax in the Lord and watch what God's going to do. I don't know what you would do. I know my human heart would say, killed, the Red Sea, marching to the ocean. I don't have that kind of faith to face either one. You know what I would say? I would say, Moses, you guys just keep going. I got something in my sandal here I got to fix. You guys just keep going. I'm going to stay right here. We do that in our spiritual life. God says, move on by faith, and I will connect my power to you and say, God, I just got something to fix back here. I'm just going to lay low. We want to go back and withdraw to our powerless lives. It says this, the Lord himself said he will fight for you. Put your sandals back on. You don't have something in your sandal to keep you back. He said, God will fight for you. You won't have to lift a finger, he says. So if you know how it works, you ever been to Universal Studios? Charlton Heston, he parts the Red Sea, and everybody goes across on dry land. You've seen that. You've been there. You've experienced all of it. God speaks up. The ocean parts. God's power arrives. And what happens? They step out on faith, and God parts the waters, and they walk through on dry land. Anybody here this morning feeling like your back's against a wall and whatever you're facing? And you're needing to trust God for a miracle? I think all of us believe in our heart of hearts this morning, if I could be honest with you, that God is capable of doing exactly what he said he will do. He can do a miracle in your life this morning if you'll let him. And by miracles, I'm talking about God stepping into real life situations and doing exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or we could ever think. But God's plan is the exact opposite of that. God steps out in faith and obey me, and you do that, then I will step out and be miraculous on your behalf. We says sometimes to God, we say, God, you do the miracle, and then I'll step out in faith. I'll step out in faith and trust you after you do the miracle. And God says, no, I don't work that way. In other words, God, you prove yourself, and then I'll obey. And God says, no, you obey me first, and then I'll prove to you that I can do it. The classic biblical illustration, you know, it happened once with the Red Sea. Did you know what happened again the second time with Joshua crossing to Jordan? God had to prove it to him twice that he could do it. So they get to Jordan, and what's God do? Once the priest, once their toes touched the brim of the water, the sea opened, the river opened, and they walk through. You know what's at the bottom of faith is dry land. God provided a way for them. God says, I'll give you the power along the way. We want it before. God says, I'll help you along the way. So if you're like me, I think you probably say, well, I don't want power along the way, Drew. I want power before I go. I want power before the crisis. I want power before the showdown, God. I want power before the ocean's edge. God, I want it now. And God says, no, that's not faith. I want you to trust me. I have seen so many lives through the years of being a pastor and a Christian. I met with many, many friends. I've seen it in this church here at Main Place. You know, this church started 33 years ago. Just like that. They stepped out in faith, believing God can change a community, believing God could change a life. So this church 33 years ago stepped out of faith, choosing God's way. Aren't you glad because of that? You and I are here this morning enjoying that because 33 years ago, a group of people led by Pastor Rich and his wife Joan stepped out in faith and chose God's way. So if you're a seeker this morning, you're checking this whole thing out once again, and I'm thrilled that you are, and I'm thrilled that you're coming. May I have just a word of encouragement for you based on what we've talked about? My thought for you is to step out in faith and start walking in the direction of God. Keep your Bible open. Keep coming to church. Keep seeking. Keep going things that would lead you towards God. Take those steps of by faith in the direction of committing your life to God and to His power. And this is not just for seekers. This is for me. I'm just sharing you my heart this morning. If you're a parent, maybe not a parent, you've had a long day, and it just went sideways. At work, mine goes sideways, diagonal, left, right, every which way but straight. You've had one of those days. You pull in your driveway. May I encourage you just to pull in your driveway and just pause. Don't get out of the car. Don't turn off the engine. Just pull into wherever you're pulling in for the night and just pause and admit to God, God, I'm really weak right now. God, I'm really, really tired. But I'm going into this house, and I'm going in with your power. When I open the door with your strength and your energy, I'm going to love my kids, going to love my spouse, going to love whoever's in my home. I know you want them to be loved. You entrusted them with my care. They're in my home for a reason. I'm going to go in and treat my spouse the way I know you want me to treat them. I'm going to treat my kids the way I know you want me to treat them. I'm going to go in and expect your power to show up when I walk into that door. Isaiah 40:31, you know this verse. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar as wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. I like what one pastor said. He rephrased it this way. He said, those who choose God's way will find power. They will play with their kids and not be weary. We do the possible with faith, and God will do the impossible in your life. Amen. He said, church, that's the way it works. Are these easy steps this morning, the ABCs? No, they're not easy, but they're good steps as Christians to take. And when you and I move in the direction that God wants us to move this morning, your power will show up. But this power we're talking about, the only other condition that I have not mentioned this morning about this power is you don't get the power without the person. The person's name is Jesus Christ. I go back to that verse that I read to you at the beginning, our key verse. He says, His power and strength is to whom? His people. You have to be born again. You have to be connected to that source. Romans 8:17 says this, and since we are His children or His people, we will share His treasures. For everything God gives His sons, Christ is yours too. So someone's here today and you've never, ever opened up your life to Jesus Christ. We invite you to do that this morning, to be connected to God. Will you come to Christ? Would you give Him control of your life? Admit that you're weak. Admit you can't do this life on your own. Be connected to Him and choose His way. Will you pray with me, Father? We thank you that you not only showed us when last week your power will show up, but this morning you showed us how we can have access to that power. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your love that isn't based on what we look like or how much money we have or our savings account or where we live. Your love for us isn't based on our background either. Your love is based on because you created us in your image. And you're calling us to be your children. And Lord, we're thankful that we don't have to live our powerless lives anymore. That we can be thankful that we can have a life infused with your supernatural, divine, unlimited power this morning. And that you will think to care enough to give us that incredible gift. So God, I pray for those this morning that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they will come to you this morning by simple faith, accepting you into their life. You're there knocking at their door of their heart, just wanting to come in. May they say yes to you this morning. We thank you for your promises, and we so thank you that your power does show up to your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.